Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Power Tape number one, how to stop black crime and murders in your neighborhood. We're joined today with Munir Muhammad. Munir Muhammad is from Crow. He's the business manager of Crow, the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Welcome, Mr. Muhammad, to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
All right, sir. Very briefly, just tell the listeners, people listening to this audio cassette, what is Crow?
CROW is an acronym which stands for the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, an organization that was founded on the proposition that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was and is the last messenger of Allah, and our work is to make sure his accomplishments and ideas are remembered. And consequently, this is where we come up with the idea of CROW.
How long has CROW been in existence?
Well, CROW actually was conceived in 1986, in the fall of 1986. But for our incorporation purposes, we actually started the organization in 1987 of January 1st as of a full commitment. So we would say it began in 1987, which we are coming up on our 7th year anniversary.
And once again, what is the purpose of CROW for, you know, for people?
Well, actually,
know.
We felt that CROW was necessary because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who in our opinion is the last messenger of Allah, and for 44 years he demonstrated that by actions and his words. So what we felt when he was no longer present among us, our people began to, you know, take another look. And they were helped, of course, by the one who took over the leadership, which was his son, to see him in less than favorable position. And so we felt that those of us who benefited from his great wisdom and knowledge, that it was only befitting that we picked him up once again and reintroduced him to let those people who had not had an opportunity to see him, to know him through this new generation, as I would say, with film, videotapes, audios, and what have you. And it began to grow even more, so now we are faced to try and learn even more how to present his teachings as he presented them.
When you say new generation, are you specifically mean people born in the past 20, 30 years?
Well, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad hasn't been among us for 19 years now. And the young people now who seem to be taking over, whether it's killing or destroying themselves or whatever they're doing, we notice that they don't have respect for present leadership, and we believe this is because they did not have an opportunity to see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his true light. Those who loved and respected him were suppressed, so they were no longer able to acknowledge his greatness. In fact, his books were banned and his tapes were banned, and everything was destroyed with the aid of the government. So it was no way of them seeing him. So they heard about him, but they heard about him so sparingly. Even the Muslims who claimed that they loved him once had stopped acknowledging him for fear of embarrassment and loss of property, loss of life even. So he was put on the back burner.
Excellent.
And so the young people today who get an opportunity to see him now are so fascinated with him, they want to know, where is this man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? And many are sad that they didn't meet him, but they're happy because we provided a forum for them to see him once again.
Great. How long, Mr. Muhammad, let me ask you a personal question. How long have you lived in the city of Chicago?
I've lived in the city of Chicago since 1968, actually living.
Mm-hmm.
My first arrival in Chicago was in 1959 for a summer vacation, and I fell in love with Chicago. Little did I know why I had fallen in love with it, but I feel because of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, and you know, that I was destined to live here.
So how were you, who introduced you to the messenger's teachings?
It was a friend of mine whose name was Clarence Ninex. It's the first person that actually told me in substance a way about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching. But I had heard it from a brother by the name of John Paul, we used to call him, just mentioned the Muslims. He didn't mention the Honorable Elijah Muhammad per se, but it was actually Clarence Ninex who I would say is responsible for my awakening.
This in 1968?
No, that was actually in 1972.
So you don't mind me asking, how old were you in 1972?
In 1972, I was 22 years old.
So you were 22. So you were probably a worldly young man at that time.
Yes,
done
yes.
a few things, but not going to your personal background. What made you want to, you know, come into this teaching at 22?
Well, it was something, brother, that it was truth that I heard, and it was so overwhelming. You know, see, I went to the mosque, and to go to the mosque, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not there, but it was everything that I had questions about was answered right before me. I knew that there was something special about black people. I knew that we had a history beyond 400 years, and the darkness, it was like a combination of being in dark and light, you know. And, you know, the veil was completely removed, and this had never happened to me before. But all my life, I knew that it had to be something better for black people than what I was receiving. I don't know if I told you, but I'm originally from Birmingham, Alabama. And, you know, I remember the civil rights movement, and I remember the bombing at 16th Street Baptist Church, and the people would only sing about "We Shall Overcome," you know, which I resented the song because I wanted action taken. But I didn't realize until I met the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that this had already been written, what would take place. And so it was so right and exact that I could not deny it. So I was fascinated and I was hooked. It was like a junkie on truth.
Let me stop and ask the question everybody's waiting for me to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Can the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad stop the crime and murders of black neighborhoods?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you say that, a loose question like that, people want, well, details, well, if it will stop it, well, why isn't it available? You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings are not able to be introduced to the people unadulterated today. It has to be sprinkled to the people because it's too difficult for them to accept. See, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has a program that's divine. See, when it puts you in touch with yourself, it automatically forces you to eliminate certain things that are detrimental to you. I mean, you want to be in touch then with reality and see. So most people who hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are hooked from the beginning, but it's like missing, if you ever miss a day off work and you're not used to missing a day off work and you end up appreciating that day off to yourself, well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's program is like work all the time, and the black man has been made so lazy and so irresponsible till he runs away from what's known as work. So they see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching is too difficult. It takes you to the Holy Quran, and when it says, had the gain been near, or the journey had been short, they would have surely followed thee. But it was too hard and too long, and they will swear, if we had been able, we would have surely followed thee. But Allah knows that they're liars. You understand? Because, see, our people want things that's quick and ready. See, they've been spoiled, as the messenger say. We've been spoiled and you want things overnight. Anything that you have to work for, you don't want. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching gives you reality, you know, and it brings you into reality, force you to acknowledge the truth as you see it. So many people, for an example, If I own a liquor store and I hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad telling me that alcohol was detrimental to my health, cigarettes were detrimental to my health, pork was detrimental to my health, you know, he began to tell you what you can't do, you know, and you don't like that, you know. So you use an excuse to eliminate Elijah Muhammad. So you make an excuse up about, well, he didn't really meet with God. You know, these are the things that our people say. You start to take a negative to a positive. You say, well, I doubt if he met with God because I don't know God, you know. You understand? So those are the kind of things that we do. But in our opinion, that the God has begun to beat us so badly till we are forced now to take another look at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So consequently, we have no other choice but to accept him. And the young people were deliberately prevented from seeing him. Because once they see him, it's a truth that automatically they get in touch with, and they want to do more. But unfortunately for us, many of the people that helped to eliminate his message among us were from his own family. And then, as you know, the counterintelligence program was satisfied upon waiting on his death, as they could claim it, then they could go on and deceive black people as they have been doing for years. And this is in a document, January 7th, 1969, in the FBI document.
But here in 1993, going into 1994, how can the average person here in America be exposed to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
That's a very good point. Well, Mark, as I say, for 7 years, we've been calling our people to this teaching. And the last 2 or 3 years, we have really accelerated the pace. But it takes all of us, you know, those who have a conscience. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if you don't have a conscience, then you can't be taught. Now, those of our people who are developing that conscience, they're beginning to assist us in this area. So curiosity is coming on TV shows, talk shows like this, and just in general being able to put out information so people are having an opportunity to weigh this. So we're hoping, you know, I'm saying the only way it is to accept the teaching. See, you can put it out. If you don't accept it, it's up to you, you see. But we think that our people are being beat down so bad that those who are educated have to step in. And we believe that to an extent some of them are doing it. See, the Holy Quran said it doesn't make any difference about the number, the success. And remember, all of us not coming. See, it's not going to be God don't save a bunch of us, you know, because remember, somebody's going to have to hate their mama and hate their daddy. You may have to leave your wife. This is a difficult process, so it's going to be some lonely people, you know.
In any major city here in America, you can see Mr. Farrakhan's followers selling the final call, and you see the young brothers. These are young brothers in their early 20s, some of them, and they wear suits and ties and mannerable, respectful. What does Minister Farrakhan teach, or what is, if you will, Elijah Muhammad, that's where he gets his teaching from, Elijah Muhammad teach to bring these young men to be respectful and a clean-cut appearance and everything?
Well, I think, number one, Minister Farrakhan has to be commended because, see, as the national representative and the national spokesman for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he has spoken to every major black group in this country, and even outside this country, he's spoken to a lot of people. But as a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he says what the young black man would like to be able to say himself. By him being as articulate as he is and telling them about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it has an awakening power to them. But as I'm sure he would agree, what they need is to hear from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad directly. Since they can't hear from him, they have to take his advice when he tells them that Elijah Muhammad is the answer. But there again, I say we're lazy people. We don't go to the root. So this is why it's difficult to sustain that kind of youth. You know, you can wake him up and stand him up, but he needs sustaining and see like a constant nourishment. You know, it's like the germination of a seed. You know, there's power in the seed, but there has to be sunlight and water to act on the seed so the seed can swell and burst and justify its being. Now, initially, when you water in a plant and it looks like there's life in it, you know, it's beginning to stand up, then all of a sudden you begin to neglect it, then the plant dies. So it is with the black man and woman. See, the sustaining power. See, that's why I said Allah, the sustainer, the cherisher. See, God is ever sustaining you, so Mr. Farrakhan can bring them to the door, you see, but they have to be willing to continue to go through the door. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand totally, but my thing is it does work. And, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how people, they can see the transformation. They go to the jails and they say, you know, Minister Farrakhan can transform these young men. But they don't go to Minister Farrakhan or they don't go to Elijah Muhammad's teachings to pull out what it is that does it for them.
You know, and I'm sure Minister Farrakhan agonizes over this, as many of us who were there when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left us. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was among us, the same fervor and even more so with him, this is the way people said they loved him. In fact, you've seen film how many people would cry with tears of joy just to see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, what happened after he left? We were promised in the book that when he go away, a void would come over the earth, a famine from hearing the word. Now, the word was still there, but his word, pure, unadulterated, was gone, you see? Because now someone has to reinterpret it to you. Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad meant this and he meant that. You see, when we started this organization, good for us, we recognized that none of us were orators, so to speak, or articulate enough that we could set ourselves up as leaders. You understand? That go through this door. So what we did, we forced people to look at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So that's why you see the young people whom we help to produce by giving this forum, see, they're forced to study on their own because they can't say, well, I want to be like Munir, because Munir is constantly telling them that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the teacher, and they believe it rather than to accept me as a celebrity, so to speak, if you understand. But see, Minister Farrakhan was a celebrity in the Nation of Islam because he was the national spokesman, and he represented the Honorable Elijah Muhammad all over the world and has done a great job on it. So, see, he's the link between them and the messenger. But they are satisfied with him, you know, being that link rather than to go beyond to continue to study. So if something happened to Minister Farrakhan, then where would we go then? You see, if you become dependent on him when he's trying to tell you about the teacher. So my understanding that, recognizing the pain and suffering that we went through when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was no longer with us, I made up in my mind any affiliation that I participated in this work, that the people would be forced to deal with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad themselves. And that is the only way, because he was the only one who had power to give life to the dead. This is what he told you. See, God gave him the mission. See, that's what we have to understand. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was taught directly by God. This is what he believed. Now, and his actions showed that, because no one has been able to do what he was able to do. Now, but the God don't want you if you don't want him. You have to understand this. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad give you the message. If you don't use it, that's up to you. And it's evidence that you don't use it because we look at your actions. So where all of us are needed to do this work, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad single-handedly, by the power of Almighty God, Allah, was able to elevate us while he was present with us. But as the scriptures say in the 4th chapter, 16th through the 20th verse, though I'm not present with you, my little children, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, meaning that we have to become self-governing, you know, and that's a difficult process unless we deal directly with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who, in my opinion, was and is the messenger of Allah.
If you sit down and reason with black people, they would agree that the messenger's teachings was right and exact, and it does work, and it's still working today.
Mm-hmm.
But people seem to be afraid, or they just won't come publicly and say what they need to say.
Well,
why is that?
I think that you hit it on the head. See, it's that regardless of what becomes of the speaker, he has to speak it if he knows it, meaning the truth. Well, some of our people say, well, individually, I'm doing okay. Individually, I don't need any help. You see, it's the downtrodden. They look at it, that's what they need, you see. See, they don't want to give up their status. It's like having 1 foot on the plane and 1 foot on the ground. See, you can't have it both ways. See, they love this world so that they don't want to give up that world. So, see, Mr. Muhammad was talking separation. He said, you must separate from the slave master mentally as well as physically. You know, see, people can go for that mental because it's abstract teaching to them. But when you get to talking about being away from the master physically, they don't want to hear it. So, no, boss, not today, you know. So they want to be a little closer to the master.
How do you go about it? How have you have gone about, if you will, bringing this message to Mr. Muhammad's teachings to young people here in Chicago and throughout this nation?
Well, you know, Mark, fortunately for me, I've always wanted to be independent, you know, even at the expense of maybe not. See, there are basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter, you know, and those needs that God has blessed me to have the basics. I have everything that I need and some of what I want. And see, to realize that the greatest gift you could have is to be able to live forever. And I recognize, as the Holy Quran points out, the abundance of wealth is merely a diversion. It diverts you. You don't recognize that until the graves open up. Well, I'd like for my name to live forever. So I wanted to become synonymous with greatness. And the only greatness that I thought that was tangible in my midst that had tested time was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I wanted to lock myself into that, you see. So I listened to him very attentively, you know, and say, like, I want to be my independent self. So I know food, clothing, and shelter are the basics. So whether people like you or not, if you're involved in that some kind of way, if you can supply those needs, then you're pretty much okay. So, you know, rather than to look for a job, I learned to make a job and use my knowledge to do for self and then others. See, I don't just do this selfishly, and I think I show people by example that I know how to distribute the wealth, you see, if they're willing to accept it. You know, so as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us, we give everything that we have because those who forge the way to freedom for others, blessed are those who do that.
Do you think people who teach young people, many need principals and grammar school, high schools, and other community organizations, even the church, should they come to a place like Crow or Minister Farrakhan, anybody who teaches Elijah Muhammad, and ask for help?
You know, I think, Mark, that anyone who states that they're interested in black people, they should be affiliated with us in some way. And us, I mean the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. For one thing, we do extensive research. And for another thing, we house information on the greatest black man to ever live among us, and we believe that's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it's not even debatable to us. Some people say it's debatable, but I don't care who you bring up, there's no leader, living or dead, that can compare with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, this is what we believe. So I'm saying that we think that all of those who claim that they're black, claim that they're seeking history, then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings are there for the picking. So we believe that they would do themselves a great service by giving their young people an opportunity. In fact, many of those people that you mentioned, they are willing to send us their young men, but they're just not willing to come themselves. There are mothers in the community all the time when they want to do research or use us, they said go by here to do research. We're not just a research center just to be a research center. You know, we coalesce with those who want to coalesce with us. You see, we believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has the answer. They know he does. But because the Muslims were so strong, there are many people who delighted in our demise along with the government, even though they would like to see us come back. But initially, they were just happy to get the pressure off them because Muslims used to be really very zealous in their desire to elevate the consciousness of our people.
Most people have fear of the unknown. And people do not know the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Thus, they have the fear of the messenger's teachings. Is it still strong? How do you break down the fear of studying or coming to a place like this and learning the messenger's teachings?
You know, Mark, as I told you, our people are tried, and they don't even realize the trial. They think this is difficult because the Caucasian made it seem that way. You know, he used his media mechanisms to supplant different lies on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so our people, being loving by nature, when they hear the word hate, you know, and it's associated, they don't want to be around that. Even though individually, I don't care who you know, everybody got some Muslim or someone who's on the borderline of being a Muslim. That's where they get their advice from. Mm. I know very few independent thinkers who are successful in the world who get some of their philosophy from the Muslims in some capacity. Either he's a Malcolm worshiper, a Minister Farrakhan worshiper, a Muhammad Ali worshiper. Some way or another, believe me, the Muslims are at the root of it, some kind of way. They either was in the Nation of Islam and don't want to tell you, they heard another Muslim talk, as Muhammad Ali so eloquently put it in 1968.
Mr. Munir Muhammad, I have to ask you this question then. What makes the messenger's teachings so great?
What makes the messenger's teachings so great is that no one else has been able to answer the number one question: who is God, who is the devil, and who is the black man? The black man, nobody knew him, nobody wanted him before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave you the history. He put a suit and tie on the devil. He took him out of the ground, that we felt that he was deep down in the ground. In fact, you just heard recently in New York, I think they had a tunnel down 450 feet. They didn't see the devil out there. And, you know, so, and then they go up in the sky. Everyone knows that they go up in the sky so high that they have their oxygen mask on, because after 6 miles, there's no more air up there. So they didn't see God up there. So, you know, and then so they started to look on the earth for these things. And it was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who made that teaching evident, even though they don't want to give him the credit for it. But that's exactly what happened.
So this is what the young men hear, some young men hear. So, because people think that when they see some, young, especially young men, I don't know why the young men, that's another question I want to ask you, why men gravitate toward Islam versus the women. And let me ask that then. Why do men gravitate toward the teachings more than the women do?
Well, see, there's something laying dormant in the black man. He knows he's God. You know, he feels superior. You know, it's just like, you know, a few years back, you may not be old enough to remember this, but Teddy Pendergrass was pretty hot. And he was singing, "Close the Door and Come On, Go With Me." And women would go, he'd have women-only concert, and many of them were removing their underwear, throwing it on the stage. Well, the brother wasn't going to go there. He knew he was a star himself. You know, and it's something about that that forced you to believe in yourself. Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching bring that life out of you. And the Holy Quran in the 40th and the 25th verse, it says, "Slay the sons of the believer and keep their women alive." Well, women have somehow been made to be comfortable in a sense subliminally now, you know, because it's not so much as that women are so much brilliant and things, but, you know, they have the something inside of them that's a protection built in, that they would say, "Boy, don't do that because the man will kill you. You know, you won't be a good little boy," you know, because they always had this fear and they wanted to protect life, so they made sacrifice. Whereas the man had a tendency to be dangerously loose, you see. So that was his nature.